Hi, this is Mary Santora, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Elizabeth Seaman. Enjoy. Welcome to The Default Setting, where we find out what makes you tick, because we have ways of making you talk. I'm your host, Jess Falstick, and Elizabeth.
I didn't know how you were doing it now.
Elizabeth is our new special co-host. She is our full-time on board. This is her inaugural official foray. You are now
Elizabeth,
the co-host.
Steven, what's up? Yeah, well, co-host. Not a special guest co-host.
Yes.
Like I'm cool now.
You're not special
I'm part
anymore.
Of the club. I'm not special anymore. I'm like we've been married for 25 years and
old hat
matter anymore. Yeah. Like our dates, our podcast together used to be special.
Yeah.
And we used to have a good time because it was like a special event, like a nice date night. We just don't do it anymore. We're just going through the motions.
Oh, God. I just realized, yeah, that's what's going to happen now. All the magic is going to be gone. Like
all the magic's gone. I'm so sorry.
The spark, like the thing that made us like such a great dynamic is now just going to be like,
probably
yeah,
dead.
Fuck, probably whatever.
Dead. I mean, this whole podcast is probably just going to go right to the trash now.
You're texting another podcast host the whole time we're recording.
Yeah. I've actually, like, that's what I'm listening to.
You got this.
I'm not even paying attention.
You got Radio Lab in the other ear. Yeah. You're not even paying attention.
Oh, like, you know how a real podcast does.
Hey, we should acknowledge our special guest, our guest that we have today, Miss Katie O'Malley. How are you?
I'm doing so well. Thank you for asking.
Yes, thanks for being our guest today. Your default setting is fake it till you make it.
Yeah, that's accurate.
All right, so let's start at the beginning. Where did you sort of first learn about the concept of faking it till you make it, or is that just something that's always been a part of you?
I guess, yeah, I don't know, mid-20s maybe. Okay. I decided, if you would have asked me like 8 to 10 years ago what my default setting was, I would probably be daddy issues.
Yeah, that's everybody's default setting. That's like saying oxygen. That's like, yeah. Oxygen's my
exactly. I wouldn't have known back then to call it daddy issues, but it was. So yeah, I was just like fucked up a lot and just like living that party lifestyle. But then I decided like, you know what? I want to like, you know, maybe do something with my life and like make actual money. So I decided to go to college when I was 24. And that was like, I was first generation college student, so it wasn't like a thing for me. I didn't really know what I was doing, but I ended up doing really well and been faking it ever since. So
hard though, sometimes with the first generation college student thing, because I was too, and so it was like the process of like, what's financial aid even, and how does this happen? Like, it was a hot mess. That is so stressful. I feel you. Like, that's
super stressful now too, paying that shit back.
yeah. Like, it hasn't stopped us.
No.
So when you were
still just trying to make it.
So when you were a kid, I mean, did you ever sort of have moments of like, this fucking sucks, and I'm just gonna like smile my way through? I mean, were there earlier instances of this?
Oh, I'm sure there were. I'm lucky that I'm just like, I mean, high school, I really phoned it in, I guess. I never really went. I would skip all the time, but I was really lucky that I was just like, I mean, not to sound like, you know, super full of myself, but just like innately smart. I did good at tests, so I was able to just, you know. And I think I've always been able to manage other people's expectations of me. I think that's more important than actually being good at something or being successful is making sure other people, you know, you're just meeting their expectations. So if you have to keep their expectations low, then that's what you should do.
So how did you go about keeping people's expectations low of you?
Just being super honest. Like, I think that's, I mean, that's just how I am. My mom always said the squeaky wheel gets the grease, which is so lame, but it's super true. Like, you know, if I told a teacher in high school, like, I'm really struggling with this, when in actuality, I just wasn't trying at all. You know, then yeah. they would like give me the C-, because it's like, oh, well, at least they came and talked to me about it, you know?
Damn, yeah. That did not work for me in my school at all. I was always like, oh man, am I getting an F? And they were like, yep, you sure are. See ya. Like, I don't know.
They were all just excited that I came to talk to them because, like, they knew that I was such a fuck up.
Yeah, I think a lot of times, like, as long as they're seeing effort, like, in mm-hmm. one way or another, then it's better than nothing. Yeah. Like, well, they care.
It's like the hippie teacher.
I feel like my high school was pretty similar, where it was like a good high school and we had fun and everything, but I didn't have to try hard to do like average to around above average. Like, I didn't have to study. So then, like, school afterwards, sometimes I'm like, whoa. Sometimes I have to like put in effort to study. I don't like this. This is kind of stupid.
Yeah.
See, I feel like in my memory, I'm like, well, I did that. Like, I put in the bare minimum, like, show up and try sort of thing. But, like, mm-hmm. as you're talking more, I was like, did I not even want to try to make it seem like I was trying? Because, like, they never seemed to register that I, like, gave a shit about, like, any of it. Like, high school was the worst for me anyway. So when you say, you know, backing up, we talked about sort of where this all began with the fake it till you make it mentality. You said mm-hmm. you decided to start college later. You said 24.
Yeah.
And what was the catalyst for that?
I just didn't really have any direction, and I started thinking about what I wanted to do with my life. And I had no idea at all, but I knew that anything that I might want to do or that might sound interesting was going to require a bachelor's degree at least.
Yeah.
So I decided to go to school for history. Not because I thought that, like, oh, well, you know, history degree, I'm obviously going to get a job after.
So many offers. Busting down the door.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even going to have to try. They're going to come to me with a history.
Were you going to do one of those, like, wackadoo, like, very, very specific history things? Because I know people have gotten degrees in, like,
have a super specific.
Is it? Okay, I want to hear.
Okay, so I'm a Latin American studies minor.
Okay.
But my specialization area is environmental history, and specifically the Columbian Exchange.
Wow. Shit. Okay, wait, now I got all kinds. There's more follow-up questions now. We just keep going.
I had like a history teacher. Oh, in college, my first history class, I love history so much. Like, that was always the easiest class because it was the most interesting. So studying and stuff for that was just fun. But his specialization was, like, colonial agriculture. But, like, even more specific than that, I just, like, no one could get into it as much as he did. It's, like, not what the whole class was about. But he would find a way to make it about that. And we're like, dude, you're writing your thesis and, like, an intro to history class and nobody cares. Like,
okay, so now I need to know, first off, where did your interest in that, like, Colombian, what'd you say?
The Colombian Exchange.
Okay, where does that come from?
Okay, I studied abroad in Ecuador for a semester.
I love Ecuador! I went to the Galapagos a few years ago, and it was amazing!
Did you really?
Yeah!
I went to the Galapagos.
Did you? Okay, let's all talk about this later.
I haven't.
Let's do it.
We'll take you with us. Let's just all go. Let's just all go. Cool.
So yeah, I studied abroad in Ecuador, so that's what kind of, you know, sparked my interest in you know, South America and Latin America. But then the Colombian Exchange, I got into that because I was in an environmental history class, and I truly feel, and this is so boring, I'm really sorry, but I think it's the most important thing that ever happened in the history of the world. Like, the colliding of these two, you know, parts of the world. Like, I can't even explain it. Like, it's just so exciting. Like, what's the one type of food that you think of when you think of Ireland?
Potatoes.
Potatoes come from South America.
I knew that.
And they didn't even exist in Europe. And, like, they think that because of the Columbian Exchange, like, that sparked the Renaissance, because until then, people weren't getting enough calories. So, like, they weren't, you know, getting enough calories to be able to, like, also think really hard on top of feeding themselves, you know? And, like, just so many things. Like, tomatoes come from
I was right about to say. Isn't those tomatoes happen, too?
Kentucky bluegrass is from Europe, like... And now it's Kentucky bluegrass. You know, like, it's just a lot of really
also
exciting.
Also cocaine.
Yeah.
Coffee. Coffee, too. I like coffee.
Chocolate.
Yeah, chocolate. That was a big one. Okay, so that's just it. I'm just
so
really
you just kind of stumbled upon it by choice because of where you had studied abroad and just kind of that sort of piqued your interest.
And the classes you took.
So the follow-up question is then, where'd you go to school? Quick.
Baldwin Wallace,
okay. So
I went to Mount Union. We're rivals.
Okay, so I'm gonna ask both of you, because also you're youth and I am older, can you just decide like you want to major in something like that specific? Because I actually never even knew that was an option.
I mean, my specialization area is my specialization area because that's what I chose to do my like senior, you know, project on.
Got it.
But Latin American studies, I chose that as my minor because I already had most of the credits for that minor because I went to Ecuador.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, you might as well make the most of that. And then, so what'd you say your major was? History?
History.
Okay. So you can actually do like a major and then have like a subcategory as your minor and then specialization. Okay. That's so cool. I'm learning.
Yep.
Learning. In theory, it sounds to me like you were very realistic about the notion that you weren't going to become a history professor of Latin American studies with a specialization in the Columbian Exchange.
Yeah, no.
So what was, like, you were like, I want to go to college because, like, what was the end goal with going and doing that?
I just want to make enough money to be able to do the things that I want to do.
Okay.
I really don't care what I do for a living as long as I don't hate it, you know, but I always saw myself in more of like an academic role. You know, I don't want to work. I've worked in the restaurant industry forever. You know, I don't want to do that forever. Sure. So, yeah.
It was just one of those things where you saw a 4-year degree as just sort of an entryway to.
Yeah. I chose history because I knew I could do pretty well at it.
Yeah.
For sure. I honestly never do anything unless I think I'm going to be at least mediocre at it. That's a part of faking it till I make it.
So, like, when you say fake it, like, what part of it were you faking?
I mean, I guess, like, when I first started college, like, you know, up until then, I had just been, like, I guess kind of on like the fringes of society. Like here I am in like Baldwin Wallace and these beautiful buildings and I'm studying history, which is like liberal arts, you know? And like, meanwhile, like for like most of my life from like 15 to 24, I was just doing a lot of drugs and just sleeping around, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I had to kind of like put on that facade of like, I can be intellectual.
It's funny because like when you with your like fake it to make it, it almost seems like when you hear that phrase and in, like initially it sounds like, oh, that's such an optimistic point of view, but then when you talk about like setting people's expectations and everything, it's like, oh, it's kind of like pessimistic line of view.
It sounds a lot like
I can't really tell which one it is.
It sounds a lot like is it imposter syndrome that people think they have, like I'm not as good as everybody sort of I'm portraying that I am, or everybody thinks that I am.
But here's the thing is like, as good as people believe you are is as good as you are.
Ooh, okay. So you, I see, it seems like you
like that's
more like the optimistic.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it is, you know, like,
yeah,
whether or not you see yourself, like it's all about perception, you know,
it's like, what is it? Like when you value an object, like, it's worth what people deem it's worth, sort of a thing. Mm-hmm. Like,
totally.
If 500 people agree that that thing's worth $1 million, then that's just worth $1 million. And that's that's the sort of mentality. I think that's an interesting perspective because I think even, I don't know, I as an adolescent sort of had this mentality of people see you as you see yourself. Like, I was very much just like, oh, if I, like, in my head think I'm great. I think I took that at a much more, which again goes back to I didn't try to do anything and I was lazy as shit. Like, I think in my, I was like, as long as if I'm actually thinking, like, I'm pretty, I'm smart, and not actually, like, I wasn't behaving in that way. I wasn't, like, you know, behaving in any sort of way that, that gave off that vibe. I mean, how much of a, like, fake it, like, you were just... Were you, did you find yourself concentrating a lot on, like, reminding yourself that you had to be a certain way? Or, I mean, how does that work?
I don't know. I think it's just, like I said, like, managing other people's expectations. And I was going to say something, but I forgot.
No, that's okay. I'm high, so that's going to happen about
45 times. It happens, right?
Yeah. I'm high and old, so both of those things...
Oh my God, you are not old.
I know. That's the thing. That's the thing that I have a theory that anybody who's like, I'm old, is actually not. Because you never, like, my grandmother's 93. You don't hear her like, I'm old. Like, she just, you know, hangs back and talks about my grandpa who died 10 years ago, which is depressing as fuck. This took a turn. Fun.
You're not old because we're not perceiving you as old.
That's true. So. Yeah. That's true. That's the thing.
Look it. Brought it back.
Whoa, look at you. You're more in charge of the show than I am. I don't know what the fuck's going on. All right, so it sounds like you did it, the initial sort of big sort of I'm going to be this person to everyone, and not, even though I don't feel that way. Happened with college. Where does it happen day to day?
My regular job. So I guess that's... I think I fake it in my regular job and in comedy.
Okay, that's like comedy. You have to, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I just want to, you know, do my best, and I have to make sure that other people know what my best is. I like to kind of fly under the radar a little bit, so that when I do a good job, people are impressed, you know, and mm-hmm. and not like if you sell yourself, like I'm gonna kill it.
Yeah.
And then you don't kill it, then people are just going to be disappointed. So I like to just be super, just a little above average at both comedy and my actual job so that people will like me.
Well, and that sort of gives off this vibe of, like, you're trying, like, you naturally, it's like you naturally go at, like, 90 mile an hour and you're just constantly trying to reel yourself back to 50, like... That's, I mean, that's what it sounds like. Like, you're like, I'm trying not to be too good. I'm just trying to be just good enough. And I think that's amazing, but it feels like it would be, like, exhausting, too. I don't know. Do you find that at all?
A little bit. But I also, like, I know... I have... I know when I need to just be alone and chill. You know, like, I am very... I could be doing a lot more shows, and I could be doing a lot more at work, but I don't want to because I know I'll get exhausted.
Yeah.
And so smart. I just won't, you know, I know my boundaries. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's really smart. I'm like envious of a couple things. I'm envious of that because that's why I've been in California 4 months and haven't done comedy yet, because I literally exhausted myself so hard in Cleveland that I've just like, I need a break. So it's smart of you because I think it, you invest your time more wisely because you end up, you either give it your all the first 8 months of the year and then you crap out the last four, or you spread it out so that you can just kind of constantly, you know, have, you're not 100%, but you're also able to have, it's like running a marathon and not a sprint. You're saving your energy for shit later on down the road. So that's enviable. Also, you have to teach me a course. You should teach a fucking course on how to get people to expect less from you because, oh my God. Like, I feel like every day of my life, like, I am at, like, 95% capacity, and for that reason, the 1% of the time I, like, royally fuck up, people are just like, oh, Jesus Christ, and I'm just like, people fuck up, like, there are more fuck-ups in my day-to-day that I see and encounter, and everyone's like, yeah, well, they're a fuck-up, what are you gonna do? And it's like, I want that.
No, you're not supposed to be like that.
I know, I want the attitude.
Expectations.
Yes, how do you do that? Because I feel like... And then I feel like when I give like 50%, people are just like last year I had a really terrible review at my job because my boss is like, I can tell you're only given like 50%. And it's like, well, fuck, man, when do I get to be the guy who everyone's just like, well, it's Jess, what are you going to do? Like,
yeah, that's just her.
Yep.
I think it all comes down to talking about it, you know, like with like bookers for shows or like at my job or whatever, like if I'm struggling with a project or I'm like, hey, I'm sorry, once again, I cannot do this show, you know, that you keep asking me to be on. It's just, you have to just tell them why, just, you know, be open about it.
What are your reasons for why?
Well, there's this one show that I want to be on, but it's on a Monday and I'm just fucking tired on Mondays, man. Like, I want to come home and chill with my dog. Like, I live alone and I have a dog, so I feel like I have to be home a lot with her, you know, because, like, I want to be a good dog mom, you know? Like, yeah. I'm, like, the only thing in the world that she cares about, you know?
Yeah, you're literally, like, you and your apartment, it's like, no, this is the world.
Yeah,
I'm the sign of her life. She won't see anybody.
I have to be home for her. And people are like, that's a cop-out. And I'm like, well, calm down.
Yeah, but... You don't want to have, like, if you have your dog and, like, leave them home all day while you're at work and then go out all night. Like, that's sad. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
And, like, that's why you should kind of couch gags more, because you can bring your dog.
Hey, look at you promoting. You guys are more in charge of the show than I am. I'm just going to go. Like, you guys do the rest of the show. Oh, and then Katie had to peace out. There she is. Ah, the doggy! Oh, there's a dog! Oh,
what's her name?
Her name's Holly.
Oh, that's it's so cute.
Seasonally appropriate. This will air in, like, February, and I'll be like, seasonally appropriate.
Yeah, Holly, and then you got, like, the Christmas tree in the background, everything.
I know.
How old is Holly?
Holly is 21 in people years. We had a 21st birthday for her.
Aww.
No, she's 3. She will be 4 in January.
That's cute. What kind of doggy is she?
She's a Shih Tzu poodle mix. A poo shit.
A poo shit.
Super cute. Oh my god.
That's
she was a rescue, sort of. I feel very strongly about, you know, like, rescuing animals. I think it's definitely important. But someone I found her on Craigslist. So, like, I know, like, that's not, like, the way that rescue should work, but it was this old man, and he had to move into, like, a senior trailer park and couldn't have the dog anymore.
How old was she when you got her?
She was 6 months.
6 months. Oh, so she was little. But that counts as rescue enough, because otherwise she would have gone to, like, the APL or something. And then would have had to get rescued from that. You just intercepted.
Yeah, you saved the middleman.
That happened.
Yeah.
I worry about that, too, like, because she wasn't fixed when I got her. And she's, like, a desirable breed because she doesn't shed and she's small, you know. And, like, I think about what terrible people could have, like, gotten her and, like, bred her. And, like, not that breeding is bad necessarily, but, like.
Yeah, but people overbreed and they really mess.
So I like to think that I saved her from a horrible fate, but I don't know.
I'm sure you did. Most animals don't befall, like, great initial sort of, at least, like, not a lot of them that aren't coming.
You want to come home on Monday and not go out and come and cuddle with them.
Exactly. Well, and that's the other thing, too. Like, I think that again, you have to teach me things. You seem wise beyond your years. Just the idea that, like, you're good with the way things, like, so few people are happy, you know what I mean? So few people are satisfied, you know what I mean? And you seem satisfied, or at least your main goal is just to be satisfied. And I think so many people get bored or whatever, restless or whatever their fucking problems are. And I think because of that, you ultimately, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, because you don't spread yourself too thin, you know what I mean? Like, so you are satisfied.
I won't do that. I won't spread myself too thin, because I know my boundaries. So I think that's important. But, you know, I'm definitely, you hit the nail on the head, striving towards satisfaction. Like, I'm not there yet, but working on it. So
Liz, what were you going to say? But
I was just going to say, because you seem just so good at just knowing yourself and, like, what you can handle. So it's like, not only are you, it's like, I think sometimes the way we were talking about it a little bit ago, when we're saying manage people's expectations and, like, don't give them 100%. But at the same time, when you're being, like, honest and you're talking to them, like, no, look, I can't do this. Like, it doesn't seem like if Okay, I'll rephrase it. So if you're telling people, like, if you're not going 100%, and then it almost feels like, oh, is that, like, manipulating them to think that, like, you're not as good as you are? But at the same time, it's not, because you are being really honest about your boundaries and your limits. So it's actually just really honest, and you just know yourself. And I think, like, a lot of times people who are especially more, like, introverted struggle with that a bunch. And it can be really hard or, you know, you don't want to let people down, and you're like, I'll go because I want to make them happy. And I know I've had to get way better at saying no to things, because I'll be like, I'm exhausted. Of course I'll come over and take care of your dog. And what I like, oh, totally. And then it's like, yeah. No, it's okay to say no. And you should. Sometimes other people just need to work things out. But I
might be like the bad friend in that situation, though, because I like my alone time a lot. So.
Also that.
Have you ever had a moment where you have either like oversold yourself, overpromised yourself?
Oh man, I don't know.
That's pretty impressive.
Is there something that made you like? Want that made you know yourself more and know your boundaries, like an event that's like, yep, I'm officially not doing that shit no more? Like,
dude, bombing in comedy is the worst, because like I said, I don't like to do something unless I'm pretty sure I can be at least mediocre at it. So when I bomb, like, I have like a 2 or 3 day hangover afterwards. Like, it's just like, I'm like, wow, you blew it.
have you had a point yet where you thought, like, I'm just not gonna fucking do this anymore, or are you still pretty, like, down with it?
No, I don't think so. I really enjoy it. I really see it as just, like, something fun and interesting, and it was on my bucket list forever to try stand-up comedy. Okay. So I tried it earlier this year, just because I had recently gone through a breakup, and I was like, oh, well, this will just be, you know, something fun for me to explore. So I don't think I have super high expectations of like getting somewhere with it, and that's probably why I'm not like super hard on myself about it. I'm just enjoying the ride and meeting all of these great people, and, you know, just like expanding my boundaries, and
Have you found that, you know, we talked about how, especially in comedy, fake it till you make it is the big thing. And you talk about how, like, you have a hangover after the days you bomb or whatever, but is there ever a point in your head where you're like, no, I'm good. It's like, you have to convince, you know what I mean? You have to fake that sort of mentality of like, no, that went good. That went all right. You know what I mean? And not be honest with yourself, like, about how it truly went, or.
I like to take the mentality that if it's funny, people are going to think it's funny. I don't like to like blame it on the crowd per se, or, you know, If I bombed, it was probably because I was stretched too thin and I wasn't in the right like mental space to be doing that show that day, you know, or because my jokes sucked. But that's what you gotta do, you know. Like, does this happen to you like 3 times a day where you're like, I am a fraud, like nothing I say is funny at all, and I can't believe are laughing at me? Like, that happens to me like 3 times a day, but then I'm just like, well, then there's a lot of people who tell me I'm doing good, so
right? It feels like it's always kind of a mixed bag between, you know, some days you say like all the same things and it goes so well and you're like, man, killing it, great, and then you do it again somewhere else and nothing sticks and you're like, okay, so was I coming off all nervous and weird? Oh good, so you suck at this, and what were you thinking? Everyone was probably just being nice and lying to you before.
It was all consistent. It's like a Truman.
The train just goes way off the track.
It's like the Truman,
but then
show.
I just do it again and I'm like, eh.
Well, that's,
I think I got addicted a little bit.
That's what I hate so much about comedy, is that it's so chemical, and that like literally every single piece and part and everything has to align for it to be good.
It's true.
And you can
like,
do the,
and people being in a good mood who are there, and like you coming off confident but not cocky,
that's what
but
I mean,
not like, it's so I don't know, but when it lands and it lands so good, it's like, ah, shit.
That's it. That's the thing. I always talk about comedies like my kids, because like it makes you miserable and you're tired and it costs you more money and sanity, and like you drink all this, like it's my kids.
Yeah.
And that, like, it's just so fucking painful. But then like they say I love you, and then you're like, oh, it's all worth it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's the thing only parents always say is like, oh, but they hug you and say they love you, or they laugh, and it's all worth it. And it's like, really, all that other shit and that tiny little thing makes it worth it.
It's just an emotionally abusive relationship that people have with their
But that's comedy though. Like
comedy.
It's like, yeah. It's like so much like pain and just agony, and then there's that tiny little moment where you make everyone in a room laugh.
A little cookie so you don't leave me.
When you make someone like spit take or something, just like something little, yeah, like that, and you're like, ah, like I can't even, like there's no drug. There cannot be. I mean, I've smoked marijuana. That's the most hard drug I've ever done. So I don't know that drugs aren't as good as this, but I find it really hard to believe that any drug could be as good as that.
I love making my sister do spit takes. It's like my favorite game.
I don't know if I've ever gotten a spit take.
Oh my God. I'll just bring my sister around. You can get her. She's
How long have you been doing this, Katie?
February 28th was my first open mic.
So not long. So yeah, the fact you haven't gotten a spit take, no, it will come. Believe me.
I don't think I've ever had one like on stage before.
What, like you?
I've never made somebody do it. Like, I think probably not. I'm not that cocky.
The irony is it happened at Avenue Tap House, which was one of the most miserable rooms. Katie, did I ever...
I was there for your last show there ever. That was the only time I was there, when that awful man was just...
Oh, yeah, throwing shit at people.
The bartenders throwing cups at Spider.
Like, yeah, and then we had to... That was when we got in the fight about the pool table, and... Yeah.
Spider was gonna have a stroke again.
Yeah, that was a good time. It was a rough room. But hey, it thickens your skin for just about anything else you're gonna encounter.
It really does. Yeah, I think it's a good like mental exercise. I think if you can do it, you can probably do a lot of things.
Well, and I think it truly is a huge exercise in denial, like we've been talking about. Like, if you were to really, I've seen so many people, namely women, which is something I hate, like women are the classic, will go up and they will do just fine. They will do absolutely fine. But they saw somebody that wasn't laughing, or they saw somebody on their phone, and they were like, oh my God, I bombed. I did terrible. I'm so stupid. And they do this whole thing to themselves. Whereas I have seen...
And then they stop doing it.
And then they stop performing altogether. Exactly. I have seen so many fucking men go up 18 times in a row, bomb every time, aren't funny. Everything they're saying isn't getting a laugh. People are making... like rude remarks at them on stage, and they'll still just be like, that went okay. I think I should, I'm a comedian.
Nice men too.
I'm a comedian.
I'm like, what you doing?
The way they're socialized, they're like, no, people care.
Yeah.
Everyone cares what I have to say.
Everyone's got to think I'm great, because I was never told.
No, I have a penis though, guys. I have a penis.
It's because their moms told them that they were great. Yeah. Our moms were like, you're the worst.
Maybe there's some kind of weird science, and all the laughs we get just get like echoed up in our vaginas.
It's like a vacuum.
Don't hear them, as opposed to like dudes, and like so their penis is like an antenna, so they're used to like projecting.
The Elizabeth semen.
I'm not the one who's. I have no alcohol and no drugs.
I'm out of wine.
She's like, I'm the soberest one here right now, and I'm talking about vagina laugh vacuums.
Had like half a can of Coke that has caffeine, and that's the drugs I'm doing.
All right, so you keep talking. I gotta pee real quick. I'll be right back. Keep talking.
Okay, we're gonna keep talking. Well, oh my God, Katie. So about Jess, did you? It's not even like she's not even gonna get it.
Oh my God. Jess has the most beautiful winged eyeliner.
She always does. Yours is I have no makeup on. I'm just gonna. But her hair is looking like it's growing out. I thought it looked super cute when she had it really short too, but like her little like half ponytail is adorable. Not that this is great podcast talk. Like
this
no one can
is,
see
isn't it?
What we're talking about. Keep talking about visuals. People are gonna love it.
Look
people
what I'm doing.
Are loving it. Oh my god, do you see this? Do you see this right here? That's so stupid. Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's funny though. Like I feel like a lot of the stuff that you talk about, I'm like, I relate so much, but you're way better at like actually like sticking to your guns and you know just
I try to
maybe having like maybe just have more respect for yourself so that you're like, no, I need this time.
We're going to give Katie the award for the first self-respecting guest we've had on our show.
Woo!
That's so nice.
I love yourself.
And then I talk about, you know, my sex life and my dating life and, you know, it's just disgusting. Like, clearly I have no respect
disgusting.
For
myself.
Disgusting?
No, see, that's, that's the patriarchy disgusting. Talking right there. That's the patriarchy yeah. in our mothers.
That's slut shaming crap.
Yeah.
You're
let
right.
your vagina eat up those bad reviews. let those echo in there. But all the yeah.
The choice the of words you use, Elizabeth Seaman. The choice of words you use. I love it.
Am I tired? Is that what's happening?
I like to keep. I feel like I try to keep low expectations for other people too, though. Like that's, I guess, where it gets a little more cynical. Like. You know, like, I have this one friend who, like, always gets, like, super salty when, like, the flaky friend flakes out. And it's like, well, the flaky friend is flaky. So, like, you know, if you're upset about it, like, that's probably on you. So I try to just stay really even, Steven.
Did you just
yeah, well, you're just being more realistic, and it seems like maybe she's, maybe likes, maybe, I don't know your friend, so maybe that sounds mean. But sometimes people like getting kind of, having something to get worked up about, like, you knew it was probably going to happen.
Yes. Oh, my
now
God.
Now we get to, like, shit talk about it.
Yes. And, oh, my God.
Fun.
You're so right. I think that's the internet. Like, I think it's like, you know everybody on the internet is fucking stupid. Like, you know everybody on there should not have the right to say what they say, but that's the internet. You have people say whatever.
Then when they do.
And then they get mad. Yeah, they get mad. And I'm like, no. Like, you know everyone on there is a bunch of morons. What are you mad? Like, that's like when people fight with
you
their.
You take that dude out your news feed on Facebook and you don't deal with it.
Like, fucking Cerebral Sam. Cerebral Sam. Do you guys, either of you know Cerebral Sam?
Oh, I was at the Taco Tano.
Okay. So there's this. Okay. So I'm going to tell you guys the lore of Cerebral Sam in the Cleveland comedy scene.
Tell the story. Ooh. I can hear you. I got to refill my wine.
Okay, cool. So Cerebral Sam.
I feel like an elder Jess. Like,
I know. I'm really like all you're gathering around. I'm sitting by the lemon tree and you guys
are. Tell us the tale.
Yeah. Okay. So I keep looking outside. We have the patio door open right now. And there's a hummingbird, and I'm not kidding you, he is fat as fuck. Like, he's the size of a golf ball, because I think I'm the only one feeding him right now. Like, they can technically...
Because he probably ate all the other ones.
So I think he ate so much food that he's big and fat, and he's declared that this hummingbird feeder... We're talking about hummingbird, sorry, not Cerebral Sam.
Yeah, no, I heard it.
So this hummingbird is like a fucking asshole now, and every time another hummingbird comes up, he's like, "Rawr!" And he like chases them away. But he's also big and fat, so it's like this floppy
bounces
golf ball.
Home with his beefy girth.
His big butt. But we have the door open because we're letting like the cats just wander in and out onto the patio. And every once in a while, like this motherfucker just kind of like comes, like he's like trying to like run up on me, and I'm like, are you gonna fly in the house? Like, I'm waiting for him to fly.
They move so crazy.
Well, and I'm waiting for him to fly in the house, and then you're just gonna hear like screaming and crashing, and you're gonna see like a cat fly by. Like, you're just gonna see cats flying in front of the camera.
You get so many hummingbirds there, though. When we were sitting on your balcony, and when I was visiting when you first went out there, and there's just hummingbirds all the time.
Yeah.
And I think they all live in that one tree across.
I don't know if that's like a, like, I got it from my mom. She has literally four hummingbirds or hummingbird feeders at her house because she's just obsessed with them. But when I found out we have them all year long here, I'm like, well, holy shit, we gotta do something. So now I have a hummingbird feeder that I watch them all the time. But now I have this big, fat, territorial hummingbird out there. Stern is.
You should call him something crazy. Call him like Magnus.
I know. I think Adam started to call him something like that, and I was like, "What about Sir Hums a lot?" And he was like, "Okay."
And then you got that fat ass squirrel too,
Mr. Nuts. Yeah, Mr. Nuts.
Mr. Nuts.
Yeah. Okay. Did you see his giant testicles when you were here last time?
No.
Oh,
just
okay. Yeah, we have a giant squirrel that comes, and we called him Mr. Nuts because he was a squirrel, but then later realized. It was a very, like, appropriate, you know, name. Aptonym? Is that what they call it?
Love it when people live up to their names.
Yeah, he totally is. He's got an aptonym of just giant, giant nuts. All right, so, Cerebral Sam. So
yay.
So here's the story that so the first part of the story I am going to I am going to attribute and cite a one Zachariah Durr who told me this. So one night he and I want to say Bill Squire maybe were performing somewhere and they started getting a heckler. And this guy just kind of kept yelling about how they should put him up on stage and, like, whatever. He's just this weird drunk old guy. And finally, it was one of those moments that I think we've all had where it's like, oh, you think you're so fucking funny? All right, come up here and tell a joke. Well, according to Zachariah, this guy gets up on stage and he said, because going back to what we were talking about earlier, like chemistry when it comes to comedy, he's like, I don't know if it was the lighting. I don't know if it was everybody had too much to drink. I don't know if it was just, like, the way the planets aligned. But everybody started cracking up at this guy. Like, just absolutely slaying.
I mean, they could have been laughing, like, at him and not with
people, him. And I think that's even something Zachariah said. Like, he said it ended up becoming, like, he had just gotten the crowd so riled up with all his heckling that they were just all kind of just, like, you know, hysterical mess. Now I'm just laughing at anything that was a shit show sort of a thing. Like, kind of like that giddy laughter you get when just everything's going wrong.
What shit show laughs.
Yeah, and so the guy interpreted it as he's this amazing comedian. And it was funny because at the time I knew that... I love how Katie just magically turned to, like, Thug from The Wire. Like, she's got her, like, hat.
Steve Zissou.
Oh, Steve Zissou, yes. I found a Steve Zissou coloring book the other day. We were getting way off topic here. So it's funny because I knew Cerebral Sam at that point. So, like, Zachariah finishes the story. He's like, and that man's name was Cerebral Sam. And that's, like, how he like, started. Well, since I've been on the scene, which is, like, this was a long time ago. I've only been on the scene, like, 2 years. I just know him as, like, the guy who clearly looks like he's a transient that just wanders around to bars and, like, yells random stuff. Like, it's unintelligible. And then, like, the few times if it's, like, an open mic and he shows up and someone lets him on the mic, he just goes up and, like, does old George Carlin routines. Like, he doesn't write jokes. He just goes up and does them. Yeah, but he thinks, like, he's...
Someone told me that he does the old George Carlin.
Yeah, like, he just does routines. He doesn't write anything. None of the stuff he says is, like, original. So... I don't know. I didn't really see him around a lot, but, like, Jimmy Graham would, like, post occasionally about how, like, Cerebral Sam would show up places and threaten to kill him. And, like, all of a sudden, like, you start to actually see in the comment thread of, like, Jimmy's post, like, Cerebral Sam, and his name on Facebook is, like, Howard Samuel Bittner. So if you ever get a friend request from him, don't accept it.
Oh my God. I wonder
if I don't like to accept friend requests from people I've never met.
But he signs it, like, he signs his letters, like, he signs everything he posts on Facebook, Cerebral Sam, and he puts it in quotes, like.
Oh, God.
And he is, like, you actually, like, he actually starts commenting in people's threads, like, just the weirdest. Like, he just calls everybody gay and just thinks he's being really funny, and, like. And the thing is, so going, where this all comes from, this psychotic man who has actually threatened to kill people, like, he'll, that's the thing, like Jimmy will post, like, Cerebral Sam's trying to kill me, and Cerebral Sam will, like, jump on his post and be like, I'll fuck you up if I ever see you at LVT again, I'm gonna bring my Smith & Wesson, and, like, just, like, literally is threatening his life, openly, on a Facebook thread, but this is how crazy this person is, and so... The thing that we were getting back to is, like, why people subject themselves to shit that they know. And that's the thing. Like, at least half the comedians who fight with him or bitch about him are all friends with him on Facebook. And I'm like, why would you fucking do that? Like,
just avoid it, man.
I must find it amusing to a point.
Maybe I mean, who doesn't love that little drama? I don't. I'm not. I don't, actually.
I don't either.
I have no drama in my real life.
I'm the kind of person where it's like I can enjoy some drama as long as it doesn't involve me. I'm like a eating popcorn, reading the comments section kind of person. Not like, not that I actually want anyone to be like hurt physically or mentally or anything like that. But when people do dumb stuff, like make a really, really passive aggressive Facebook post, and then it, like, starts a whole comment war. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna keep checking back up on this.
I will read all 48 of those.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I will.
Leave no likes, no comments, no gifts. I'm just gonna read it.
Yeah, I actually lost a really good friend due to one of those one time. So yeah,
I've lost a couple of family members. So. No, not really. I'm a very political person, though. So like that's hard.
I really appreciated your post.
I can get heated and passionate about some political things, but I try not to do it on social media.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so like when people put that stuff out there, you know, it feels like what we're talking about, like you kind of should expect so much to a point. Like if you want to put it out there, then that's totally fine. But someone's probably going to want to challenge you and someone's going to not agree. And if you don't want to talk about it, then like don't post it in the first place.
Yeah.
Or post it and ignore it all.
Or post it and then delete it. I've done that I've done that a couple times. I'm like, whoever sees this in the 10 minutes that it's up, you know, enjoy my opinion.
Because, I've got, like, family members and stuff. I'm like, yeah, they're not, like, showing up in my newsfeed anymore because you take your gun rights and your whatevers and your... I can't. I'm like, I love you too much to read this garbage from you every day. Like, we don't talk every day, but I'm going to see your stupid memes, and I'm going to start thinking that I hate you.
I'm in a group text with, I have two older brothers and an older sister, and all of them are civil servants. One is a firefighter, one is a cop, one is in the military. So it's just like, and like, I feel the need, and it's bad. This is bad of me, but I feel the need to like share things with them because sometimes I think that they really don't see my opinion if people like me don't share it with them, you know, like yeah. I want to just like show them like I'm not the only person who feels this way, you know.
And to that point, we're talking about hiding people who's like shit we hate on Facebook. I totally agree because I do literally the exact same thing. Like I have like 700 friends on Facebook and I think I can see 60 of them because like I've hidden everybody else because they just have horse shit that I want to hear. But then I have these moments where I worry, and this kind of goes, this is related to sort of the faking it thing. Like you don't want to live in a bubble. You know what I mean? Like you want to hear why other people are coming from where they're coming from on both sides. You know what I mean? And that's the thing that I always kind of have this moment where I like have to hide somebody's like MAGA bullshit or whatever. It's like, okay, but I also don't want to just see the stuff that only I want to see and hear. Like I want to.
Yeah, and I think that's like, that's admirable and people should do that. But at the same time, if someone's not actually making legit points with like a real point of view and like actually want to have like a real conversation or anything like that, and they're just posting like garbage memes or something just to get a rise out of people, because I'm like, that I feel like that's what you're trying to do,
right?
Because you either want people to get like to be like all gung-ho about your stupid joke, or you want them to go off, and I'm not going to give you the satisfaction because you don't care that, you know, it feels like they're trolling. It feels like a lot of people are just trolling for a fight. So that's the stuff I don't like to see.
I have to like ask myself, like, do I want to know their opinion? Like, do I really want to empathize with them? Because like, I think that empathy requires discomfort. I think if you don't really try to put yourself in that uncomfortable mindset, you know, it's uncomfortable for you, then like you're not going to get there. And like who wants to have to put themselves there, you know? But it's
important not easy
to expose yourself to that either way because, you know, the more you know.
Are you good with leaving your comfort zone?
Ish. I really like to be as prepared as possible, but yeah, if I feel like I've prepared enough, then yeah.
Are you really ever out of your
travel?
I say, are you out of your comfort zone if you're prepared?
Huh?
Are you out of like, and this is more of a philosophical question, but are you out of your comfort zone if you're prepared?
Yeah, no, probably not. But no, I really do like to be prepared for shit before I do it, but you know, I've been out of my comfort zone before, and it's a little scary, but aren't you always a little bit glad afterwards and, like, proud of yourself? I mean, talk about being out of your comfort zone, standing on a stage in front of people that you have no idea if they're going to think you're funny, you know? But I'm just like, oh, well, I've prepared enough where this will be fine.
It's like, that's cool. My self-esteem isn't riding on this. It'll be great.
So I think there's a lot of people who they have these like delusions of grandeur. Like they have these huge aspirations, but they're never willing to leave their comfort zone to get to them, sort of a thing. And then there's a lot of people that, because they like leaving their comfort zone, you know, they go and they do whatever, or they you know, they're able to handle it more. And I'm just wondering, we were talking earlier about you're kind of just trying to maintain a level of satisfaction because that sort of is centered in your comfort zone, or, you know what I mean? Is it just...
No, I think, I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, I mean, I've left my comfort zone every time I've made a major change in my life, you know, like I was working at a restaurant, making enough money to get by and was doing just fine, but I decided to go to school full time and take out a bunch of student loans, you know, and, you know, I want to challenge myself, and I want to experience things that I wouldn't get to experience, and in order to do that, you have to step outside of your comfort zone. But having said that, I do like to try and prepare myself mentally.
It's good to be prepared. I agree. I mean, yeah. I think there's a difference between wanting to be out of your comfort zone every once in a while, which I think is the most healthy time to do it, versus just like, I'm just going to fly by the seat of my pants, and like, you're not going to know what the fuck. Yeah. That, yeah.
I mean, there's also like being out of your comfort zone. There's being in situations, but hoping that you are prepared to handle them, like hoping that you have like maybe like the mental tools to deal with the situation when it happens, but like not knowing what's coming. Like it can still be uncomfortable, but also like you were saying, like just mentally preparing yourself, just hoping you're going to have the wherewithal to deal with the situation gracefully. So
sure.
I get to sleep both. You could do both.
100%.
What made you want to go to Ecuador?
So I always wanted to study abroad, even though I went to school as an adult student. Like, you know, most adult students don't really like study abroad. Mm-hmm. But I decided to do it because it's something I wanted to do. And like my options were going to Europe or going to Ecuador. And I thought that like in my life, I would probably go to Europe, but like when would I have an opportunity to travel all around Ecuador? And like I got to spend a week in the Galapagos Islands. I spent a week in the Amazon rainforest. Like, you know, I was there for a whole semester. So it was just, oh my God, it was the most intense and the craziest, but the best experience of like my entire life.
Aww.
Amazon rainforest is so scary.
Yeah, no doubt. I was going to say, I think just South America in general, the idea scares me a little bit.
I didn't speak Spanish at all when I went there
wow.
either.
Oh, shit.
Talk about fading until I make it. I was like, okay.
Man, you're brave.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool, though. That's
it was the best. It was the best thing I ever did. So glad I
always try to tell people to study abroad if they have a chance. I'm like, no. It's really important. It should be mandatory, I think.
Yep. I lived, I had to live in a host family with, and I guess because I'm like an arrogant American, I assumed that they would speak some English, you know, but
yeah.
They didn't speak any English at all. And just like realizing that, like, I don't have a cell phone, you know, like, and I'm just like, I'm here and the Wi-Fi is patchy and no one speaks English. I was like, this
like
is
you in a dictionary trying to live your life.
The first night that I was there in my host home, I was just sitting in the kitchen with the host dad. And, you know, I had like my little like English-Spanish dictionary, and I was able to express to him that I was a bartender. And so like for like an hour, he would just say names of cocktails and I would be like, he was like margarita. I was like, sí, bueno.
He was probably trying to order them like the whole time. He's just like,
yeah.
Okay, Harvey Wallbanger,
like, get up, bitch, make it.
Yeah. I didn't bring him here for free.
It's like pina colada. I was like, see.
He's like,
I know.
Yeah, it's great.
The
great.
Hell's
Love
my
it.
Drink? So okay, so you. What's she doing?
She's just looking out the window. This is what she does. This is her entire life.
Just looking out the window.
Living in a fish tank.
Does she bark?
Look.
She doesn't bark that much, but it's a nice... Oh, there's some fucking horses walking down the street right now. I live really close to the fairgrounds and burritos.
Oh, I was going to say.
There, so she is barking at at literally four fucking horses right
there.
Oh,
look at her protecting you from the horses.
Yeah.
So those horses, huh, Holly?
At first I thought you were living in Amish country because that's where my parents were. I was like, oh, there's just horses outside.
No, just Berea. Just horses and Berea.
Just random horses. I know every once in a while my boyfriend's cat is outside and he's hyper paranoid about her. Like, we're on the second floor and we have like a balcony railing.
Is that the flat-faced cat?
Yeah. And well, there's two smushes. There's Soma, who Elizabeth and I call Sad Face McPumpkin Eyes.
Oh,
she has giant orange eyes, and she's so sad looking.
And then my gray fluffy cloud cat. That's mine. That's Smithers. She is very smart, and also she
AKA
Smeef. She has her winter coat on, so I don't think she can get through the bars. But my boyfriend's cat is very small. And so, like, the whole time you're talking, I swear I was listening, but, like, I couldn't see her, and I'm also high, so I was like, what if she falls? What if this is, like, a Tears in Heaven situation, and she falls? What's that?
And it's all my fault, because I said it was okay.
I know, because he doesn't want her to go out there.
Worst podcast ever.
And then the cat died.
You also need to hear me go, no! And that was the last episode. They'll do a murder. Yeah.
Too dangerous, man. This podcast is too dangerous. Too much cat death.
They'll do a make cat death. I'm making a murderer on the default setting. Just have the recordings of me like,
negligence. Bum bum.
Aw, negligence. So all right. So how are you? It sounds like you've got a pretty cool job that you sort of like? Question mark.
I do. Yeah, I like it.
You do alumni relations. You said.
I am in alumni relations. Yeah, it's I'm an event coordinator.
Oh,
that's fun. I do enjoy it. I'm pretty good at it.
What's your favorite part of the job?
I guess just creative problem solving. That I sound like I'm in a job interview.
Yes.
No, that's literally.
I like it when like with from a customer service standpoint, you know, I was a server and bartender for, you know, most of my life and like in retail before that. So I really like making the customer happy, and like I like being the expert on I manage an event venue. So, you know, being able to like take their questions and be like, yeah, that's no problem. I got you.
Yeah.
You know,
I can handle that. I'm the authority on this situation, and you're so comfortable with me and confident.
I love working on a college campus. I like working somewhere where like creativity and intelligence is valued. So I think that I will always want to work in higher education. Plus the benefits are wonderful. We get the week off between Christmas and New Year's.
My sister, she works for Micah right now, and she's my spit take sister. And I'm going to call her that from now on.
Spit take sister.
She's the one who I make spit things all the time. And
she's
working.
And your last name is Seaman. Spit take Seaman.
Yeah. Spit take Seaman.
Love it.
Sister spit take Seaman. She she works on college campuses a lot too, but at Micah, they don't, because she works with international students. So, Micah, they've got about one third of their total student population are international students, which is like crazy number for any university. And they don't get that time off. She has to go into work. She had to go into work the day after Thanksgiving and everything. Like, they have to have someone in the office like all the time, I guess. And she's the newest one, so she's got to be there constantly.
That's some shit.
And get like no time off.
Yeah, sucks. Because
everyone else gets like vacation time like that.
Well, fuck Micah.
You know, like,
fuck that place.
Yeah, I was so lucky. Nice campus. I had to have my appendix out in September, and I was just so I was like so fortunate. This is the first time in my entire life that I've had health insurance. If this had happened last year, I would be bankrupt.
Jesus. Well, congratulations for a well-timed appendectomy.
Woo!
Good job. Good job, Katie's appendix, for faking it that you were healthy. You were healthy, and then it made it out just as you got benefits. Good job, appendix.
It heard you. It heard you talking about your benefits.
Exactly.
Like, well, if there was ever a time to strike,
It happened right after, it happened the Tuesday after Labor Day. So I really thought that, like, when I went to the hospital, I didn't know it was my appendix. I just thought I had a really terrible stomach ache. And I thought it was because I had gone to Oktoberfest over Labor Day weekend and just drank and ate so much. Like, just got so hammer drunk and ate so much rich German food.
I've got the sausage death. Like, that's what that like, death by sausage.
The sausage death. I love that we invented the vacuum vagina and the sausage death on today's episode. Yeah,
I still don't know what my problem is. I think this just might be the way that I am.
Lay off the Coca-Cola.
Yeah, I'm like, God, I can't even...
That's some good Coke. Why don't we...
Yeah, like, oh, I get, like, it's one of those, like, real old, like, 1920s throwbacks, so I still get jazzed.
Jazzed.
What a
yeah.
good word.
Jazz hands. Well, you survived the appendectomy, it sounds like. That was good.
What? Appendectomy?
Yeah, you survived it, sounds like.
I did. Yeah. I did survive.
Was it, like, is it a pretty, like, low-key procedure? Can they do it laparoscopically now, or is it, like, they gotta cut you open and shit, or?
They cut me open, yeah. They did 3 small incisions. I had to stay overnight, which was a bummer. And then it was, I mean, it's, my scar still hurts, honestly, but not, like, that bad. It was I was not expecting it, you know.
It's nice they can just do those, like, little incisions now. My mom and my grandma literally, like, right before they started doing those, had to get theirs out. And they have scars that are, like, this long and, like, this thick, like, across their, like,
stomach.
Everyone
on the
like,
podcast knows what you're
bad.
Saying.
It's bad. Oh yeah, also good radio.
It was very long and thick, everyone.
It's a large scar. It's like huge. And literally the woman, my grandma gets so pissed because the woman down the street had hers out like the week after, and she just had like these 3 tiny little holes. Like, are you fucking serious right now? Like,
yeah, I wrote a joke about my appendix scars because I feel like I'm very fortunate because they blend right in with my
stretch marks. Yeah!
Ah!
Woo! Stretch marks forever.
The exact same color.
Today's episode
I get lucky when I don't get acne a lot, but if I do get a pimple sometimes, I have so many like beauty marks all over my face. It's kind of like, well, what is it? No one knows.
No one knows. They'll never know.
But yeah, it's just another dot.
Yay, dots.
On my chocolate chip cookie face.
No, remember, your face tastes like pancakes.
Oh, yes, right. Just licked me.
So she came out here to help us move our kitty out here, and I got so wasted one night that, number one, I got kicked out of 2 bars. I got us all kicked out of the bars because I was so drunk that they weren't even allowed to be there. And number 2, she and my boyfriend had to carry me physically home. And I kept licking her face and telling her she tasted like pancakes. So
several lickings. Yes. Yeah, I felt like a tootsie pop. Yeah.
I think I made out with my friend the other night and I can't remember. It was I saw Liz there the night before Thanksgiving. It just turned in. I knew that it was going to be a thing because I'm not usually out on weeknights, so I went to LVT and just stayed until bar close, and yeah.
No one ever remembers what happens after LVT. Everyone remembers going to LVT, and
that was my first time staying for the duration. Yeah. Like, when I saw him say, like, oh, that's the last comic of the night, I was like, duh?
Like, I honestly thought it was going to be a little busier, but it was super fun. My best friend was in town, and a couple of my friends were there who hadn't seen me perform ever. So I was kind of excited, but then, like, no pressure, right? But it actually went really well, and for some reason that I don't think has anything to do with how well I performed, people started chanting, like, semen, like, over and over again. Like,
I remember that.
Like, why? I don't know why my name just kept getting chanted, and I'm like, I don't think I was that good.
I mean, maybe they just found some in the bathroom. Maybe it wasn't about you. Yeah.
Could have been.
I remember that. Oh my God, I was there. Yeah, wow. That was a night.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I'm like, you guys, this is making it seem like I'm way cooler than I actually am. Don't take this situation.
See,
to
we've
heart.
Come.
This isn't real
we've
life.
Come full circle.
No, take it to heart.
We've come full circle. You're trying to play down people's expectations. You're trying to, make sure.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, no, this isn't.
Oh, there she is. Holly, that's the Holly bark of it's the Holly bark of this episode is wrapping up.
Yeah.
Mom!
Look at me!
Mom, get your ass over here! Mom!
This horse is mad!
Mom! Mom!
Someone in the apartment next door was knocking. Sons of bitches.
Oh, sons of bitches.
There's a dog across the hall from me in my apartment, and sometimes it, like, I move around my living room, and their dog starts barking.
Fuck my you, mom, I'm locking the door. Like, there's nothing happening.
Oh, dogs.
You jerk.
Dogs are jerks.
I literally farted in my shower once and heard my neighbor laughing.
Oh my, that's creepy as fuck, man.
That's not okay.
That's not okay.
Like, fuck you, Fatima. Like, you don't fart.
Well,
don't you judge
that's
me.
Like, I'll occasionally walk around here, like, topless or whatever. And, like, the thing is, people could technically see, but I'm like, you know what? If you're looking into my apartment, then you're more at fault.
Enjoy.
Yeah. See what you see.
See what you see. All right. So this is probably going to air in January. Ms. O'Malley, do you have anything coming up next year you want to promote? Do you have any social media you want to promote?
So my Instagram is KONCLE. So KO_N_CLE. I have a couple of things coming up in December. But this is going to air in January.
Well,
so.
let's hear about him anyway. Fuck it.
Okay.
Let's hear how cool you are, man.
Yeah.
Do it.
I like to try and do something once a week. So December 6th, Comedy Cabinet at East End Bistro. December 12th, Modern Kicks Comedy at the Winchester. And December 18th, Distilled Humor at Distilled Table in Lakewood.
Oh, we're on that show together.
I'm so excited.
Me too. It's a they're doing a thing. It's at Distilled... the distillery, Western Reserve Distillery. What is it called?
I don't know.
I can't remember what the place is called. It's down the street from me. It's cool. The distillery they opened in Lakewood.
Yeah.
Western Reserve Distillery, and they're doing a First Ladies of Comedy Cleveland show on the 18th, and it's us and like Liz Blanc and Amber Maida.
Good company.
Kelly Lewis.
It's gonna be fun.
Can't remember who else.
Some other
maybe babies. Cindy Rice.
I think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's been
now. I feel bad if I forget somebody.
She's been. Well, she was. She took a break from comedy, didn't she?
She was. They were. She was training because they were going to.
Yeah.
So she went to the Grand Canyon and was like doing crazy mad hikes and shit. Because Cindy's buff as hell.
Yeah, she is. She's a
damn. She's been like just biking around everywhere. I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
She's. Just killing
she's,
it.
She's owning us all, and we're all like at least 10 to 15 years younger than her. So.
Yeah, I'm just drinking a pop and being like
you're drinking your 1920s old style Coke.
I'm drinking my jazz juice.
Yeah.
Every time you say jazz juice, I'm just like jazz juice.
Yeah, with my jazzy juice,
jazz hands. All right, Katie O'Malley, you're a wonderful guest. Thank you. For being on today.
Thanks.
It was super fun.
Yeah, you.
Thanks for you.
You're hilarious.
You're great.
Oh, I love seeing you.
We're fans. Big fans.
Big time.
Okay, love you. Bye.